this morning will be why we fear death. Why are we fearful of death? And today I will take us through 3 or 4 points to bring these to your hearing. Please pardon me, we are going to talk about death a lot. I took a journey into the world of death. I trust that the Lord will help us to truly see the truth of His word concerning fear of death. But before then, let's bow our heads and pray as we trust Him to help us in His word this morning. O most gracious Father, we thank You for Your mercies. Thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the truth of Your word. Oh, open our eyes to behold wondrous things in Your law, even now, our merciful Father. We come, O Lord, to talk about this that brings terror to the soul of men. The king of terror, as Your word describes it. Help us, O Lord, to see through the terror that death brings and see how, O merciful Father, You've conquered this death. Now You have delivered Your children from it. Open our ears and our eyes. Oh, that the fear of death that You have allowed to come to this world will make many run to You, seeking a way out. Oh, as they hear our voice, even throughout this conference, and many will grope after You, looking for You, because of the fear of death. Thank You, most precious Father. Make our eyes see You, O Lord. Give grace, O Lord. Make all that we use to broadcast and everyone at home give us that peace of mind, that quiet environment, that peace in the heart to listen, that carefulness to hear, the convictions that will come from Your word. May they truly turn many to You this day. Thank You, our merciful Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I will, like I said, bring before you why we fear death. And I'll bring these under 4 headings. First, I'll talk about death as an enemy. Death as an enemy. And secondly, I'll talk about the sting of death, the weapon that death wields. And then, thirdly, I'll talk about the fear in death. The very fear, the terror that death carries along with it when it comes. And then lastly, I will introduce what my next speaker will bring, which is how the Lord has abolished death. So let's quickly get into it. Death is an enemy. Death is an enemy, my friends. Not because it's hateful or odious, but because it's hostile. It's an enemy, oh friends of mine. It's your enemy, it's my enemy, it's hostile. And that makes it unpleasant to many when it comes. It comes for all. It is not respecter of anyone. It comes for both young and old, rich and poor. Oh, death is hostile. Beloved, death is hostile. It can snatch you in the middle of a meal or while asleep. It doesn't wait for no one. Death won't wait for you to finish your plans or achieve your goals. When it's time, it's time. That's why death is an enemy. It's a date we all must keep. When or how, we do not know. But when it's time, it is time. Death is hostile. And even though he came through, death came through one man's offense, it has continued to reign in all, just because we are all like that man, offenders. Sin reigns in death. So anywhere you see death or you hear death, it is because sin is around. Beloved, you fear death because you are a sinner. Our fear of death confirms that we are sinners. Oh, for the past 3 to 4 months, over 400,000 have died from COVID-19. But 7 billion, the whole world has been gripped under the fear of death. Do you know why? Sin. Where sin reigns, death and its fear reigns. And this all points to that one thing. Death is our enemy. He comes for the just and the unjust. And even our Lord submitted to it because of our sins. Alas, my friends, if the Son of God will taste death because of our sins, who are you then? Who are you? It's coming. It will come with force and hostility. We all should be ready. And so we must hear such that we will bring before you this conference. About death and its fears, this must go on throughout your lifetime, that you should be prepared for this visitor. But you see, when did it start? And I'm sure we all know when it started. The garden. It was pronounced by God on man and his generation. And it will reign to the end of time, when he himself in his son will abolish and destroy it. Oh, many preachers of our day go about promising people that they will take away death for them. You shall not die, they say. They claim to take away death and pray for people to evade death. I'm sure you've seen their folly. COVID-19 has exposed them, for those who care to see how they have been exposed. As death sweeps around the nation and the world, many of them are in their confines, their isolations. They've gone to isolations, rather. Shutting their healing schools. They themselves practicing social distancing. You would have thought that they would have gone into these places where you keep patients to validate their ministries. I mean, how else can you validate that you can cure people and raise the dead? Is to go to the isolation centers and validate your ministry. Or they are in their homes blaming conspiracy theories, railing at government for shutting churches. They should come out. They dare not. They tried, they would die. And we've had of some that tried and died swiftly. No one can tame death. Death was given birth to sin, by sin, was given birth to by sin. And death's a sign and an evidence of the payout from God. The wages of sin is death. It is God who is paying out death as wages for sin. He pays it in rations until in eternity. He pays this wage in full to all those who will not turn to him in their lifetime. So like I said earlier on, anytime you see death or hear death, you should be reminded of God. Death came because God said it. Remember the garden? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That word surely actually is death. It's like saying, you shall die, die. Dying, you shall die. Genesis 2:17. So the force and hostility of death is because of God. God, death is a message from the Most High to the world to say that he is in charge. And you are a sinner. The fear of death is because God has sent it. The fear of death is It's because of God, my friends. And I'll talk about that later as we get into the fear in death. Death is supposed to remind us of God. But it's a pity that the whole world is seeking solutions to death and ignoring the one who has proclaimed it. The one who has said, "You shall surely die," ignored. Man will not learn, my friends. But death only happens when God allows it. And if you are listening to me this morning, and you don't know this God, you don't have no relationship with this God, death will terrorize you. Death will come and terrorize you to hell. God is your enemy, my ungodly friends. God is your enemy, so death also will be your enemy. The fear of death will grip you because God is the one paying out the wages of sin, even as death. And for you who do not know him, this wage will be paid out in full. It will start now and it drags you into eternity to be paid in full. Why do we fear death? You know the answer. God is the reason. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. Deuteronomy 32:39. And when the Lord said, "I kill," what it means is, I put to death. Echoing what he said in the garden. What is this thing of death? What is that weapon that death wields when it comes? I turn you to 1 Corinthians 15:56. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You know, the sting of a scorpion is the weapon the scorpion has. And so when the Bible says the sting of sin is the sting of death is sin, what it's pointing out is that the weapon that death wields when it comes for anyone is sin. And the strength of that weapon is the law. Death could have just come and transferred us to the other side of immortality. But no, it comes with a weapon. It comes reminding you of your sins. It comes with the law, stirring up the sins you have committed and the punishment due to you. Death partners with your conscience, bearing witness that you are a sinner. You might have claimed to be an atheist all your life, but when death comes, you will be a theist. You will be. Because whether you like it or not, you must face God and give account. You must face him. I turn you to Romans 14:11-12. Romans 14:11-12. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to me." Verse 12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to his eyes. To whom we have to do, as KJV. To whom we must give account. As I read from the NKJV. This is the beginning of the fear of death, my friends. There's a God you must give account to. It's like when an auditor comes to your firm. When an auditor comes for your records. Especially external auditors. My friends who work in the finance department or the store. You check and double check. Even though you've been doing it right, you want to check again. Because the auditors we go through every line, every paper. But here are you giving account to God who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He that searches the innermost being of man. If he knows the numbers of your hair, then you are in trouble, my friends. We are all faced, my friends. We are all faced, at least when we are in death. It's just a matter of time. You can claim all you can and ignore him. There comes a time where you can no more ignore him. That time is death. The point of death. We all must give account. Death brings us face to face with God. We have a river to cross. Death is the boat that will take us to the other side. Once you step into that boat, death ensures you don't travel light. Death ensures you don't travel alone. You might have forsaken all your goods, forsaking all your wealth. You think when you travel and you are rolled in your grave, you are going to go empty. No, death ensures he fills that boat with the knowledge of your sins. Expounded, made clear to you by the law. He paints a vivid picture of the punishment due to you by the law. And I tell you, you don't need to know your memory verses. You don't need to go through the catechism class to know the law of God. For it is written that the Lord has written on the tablet of our hearts his laws. Check Romans 2, 14 and 15. It's there. Everyone has the law written on the tablets of his heart. And your conscience bears witness to this truth. My friends, you remember everything. You will never go empty-handed. Death will ensure you travel with some information. Many think that the fear of death is because of the uncertainty on the other side. But I beg to differ. After this study, I beg to differ. Actually, we are afraid of death because of the certainty of our sins and the condemnation. Death brings with it certain information of our sins and the law of God. It brings the certainty of our destination. This fear is heightened by sin and the law of God and by the information of our destination. Oh, the fear of death hovering around the world because we all are sinners. And you know, the Bible has two or three definitions of fear. There is this fear described in the Bible that is a fear that is born out of reverence. There's fear because you that leads you to this deep respect and reverence for the one that you are afraid of. But the fear that we are talking about in death is another kind of fear. It is dread. In fact, the word is terror. A fear that terrorizes. A fear that doesn't care or waits for you to pick anything. No time to say the last words. When it's time, it's time. This fear is the fear that is associated with death. In fact, death is given a name in the Bible. It's called the King of Terror. Turn with me to Job. See how Job described death in Job 18, 11 to 14. I'll read quickly. Job 18, 11 to 14. Terrors fighting him on every side and driving him to his feet. His strength is starved and destruction is ready at his feet. He devours patches of his skin. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. He is uprooted from the shelter of his tent. And they parade him before the king of terror. Death carries that name. He's the king of terror. He brings with it terror of terrors. When he comes, it has come. But then, what is the fear in death? What drives this terror? What is the fear in death? And that will take me next 10 minutes or so as I wrap up my talk this morning. There are two things that drives the terror that death brings. As you walk with sin and law, there are two things that drives it home. I call them the fear in death. Number one is guilt. And secondly, we have the wrath of God. Guilt and the wrath of God. When death stares us, using sin and the law, it points us to two things. When it comes along as we travel to eternity, it comes with sin and law, and these two just point you to two things as you go to meet your maker. Guilt and the wrath of God. You are afraid and terrified when you hear about death because of your guilt. He uses your sin and the law to stir in your heart guilt. And you know, my friends, you know when you stand before him, you will be guilty. This thought terrorizes you so much. Some of you can't bear to think of facing the Lord. You can't even face your neighbor that you have offended. Some of you can't face your wives. How much more the Creator? Guilt that pricks and tortures using your sin and the law. You cannot face the judge of this world like this. You can't face God like this. Prepare to meet your maker, he says to you, but you know you are guilty. Guilty of breaking his laws. But you see, whether you are ready or not, death drags you along. And while he continues to remind you of your guilt, he drags you along. Oh, listen to the dying sayings of those who've passed on, especially the ungodly. They are weak, crying for help, and yet death has no time to waste. He drags them along. It is not called the king of terror for nothing. With his weapon, which is sin and the law, your heart will be overwhelmed quickly by your guilt. Oh, my friends, this is a horrible sight. The soul that should be filled with joy for meeting his maker is now filled with guilt as it travels on. Let me ask you this morning, are you guilty? Are you guilty of breaking God's law? Does your heart condemn you? You see, if you are guilty now and feel condemned now that you are alive, how will it be in your final moment? When death comes to remind you about your guilt again and again, how will you feel then when you meet your Creator, whose eyes who is of purer eye than to behold iniquity? Are you afraid of death? Let me ask you. Are you afraid of death? You should be. Be terrified. Because you'll be hypocritical if you are not. The fear of death is a sign that you are guilty. But beloved, it's also a sign that you need a savior. The fear of death makes you a candidate of condemnation, and yet makes you the one I'll talk to this morning, makes you the one we should point to. You need a savior, my friend. It's a sign that you need a savior. That's the positive side of the fear of death. It shows you need a savior that will take away this guilt. The Savior whose blood as was shed to take away our guilt. Oh, that the fear of death will make you grope after Christ, that you may find him. There is some benefit in the fear of death, my friends. Perhaps you will grope after him and find him while you are still alive. Some of you, I know, might like to suppress this fear. Some will consume entertainment. Some booze and alcohol. Some even use music, even gospel music. Like King Saul, once the spirit comes to trouble you, so to deal with it, you call for a musician. But you see, death will not give you such luxury. The king of terror will not spare you. All music will be put away. Your taste bud will go numb. And you will face that which you have suppressed all your life. Guilt, as I said earlier on, is one of the drivers of the fear of death. Guilt in the Bible is used two ways also. There's guilt that talks about you offending, breaking a law. As you see in James 2, I read it, James 2:10, it says, For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So at this point, guilt is used to talk about you offending or breaking a law. But there is another use of guilt in the Bible. And this is the one that comes with the terror of death. This is the one death uses to terrorize man. Yes, you are reminded that you have broken God's law, but there's one that death presses home. And this guilt is used to say that you are condemned. In fact, literally, it means that you have lost the case. I'm going to show you in the scriptures. It means you have lost the case. No appeal, no second chance. Like a criminal, condemned criminal, going to court for sentencing. He goes in there helpless, hopeless, terrified, awaiting judgment. With his head bowed and his heart shaking. And this is the state of every man. The Bible describes it as the state of every man. Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19. And this is the guilt that comes with death. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth must be stopped. And all the world may become guilty. Some Bible has judgment in it. Or some has condemnation. The whole world may become guilty before God. And this truth comes with death. And as you are going, traveling along, he tells you are guilty. You are guilty. Meaning you are condemned. You are condemned. You are condemned. This is the guilt that death stirs in you. Using sin, and as we have read in Romans, and the law, the whole world is condemned, guilty before God, and death is at work at all time, reminding us of all this. As he takes us to our Creator, he brings terror according to this guilt. Terror of sin and condemnation. And you know, for you who've been around the church, those of you who play church, this terror will be worsened as death will remind you of every opportunity given to you to settle the matter with the Lord. Every opportunity you've had to hear the gospel and repent, death will remind you. Have you been in church for 10 years and yet, when death comes, you still feel guilty? Oh, my friends, repent. Seek help now, for it will be worse for you. Death will terrorize you. If it can terrorize you now, wait for it in the last few minutes and see how it will deal with you. Death will terrorize you with condemnation. And that's awaiting everyone who will not turn to the Lord. Get ready, folks. No one will escape this. No one except those who have been saved through Christ. Let me share with you the dying saying of some people, and I will give you one. In the 17th century, there was a man who came to church, and young man started coming to church, and the elders followed him up to a point, and then he got married to a lady called Martha. This I read in a book of the dying sayings of the godly and the ungodly. You can look for that book, The Dying Sayings of the Godly and the Ungodly. This young man got married to this woman, but then the woman was ungodly and the woman took him away from the church. The pastor ran after him for many years until they gave up on him. 10 years after, this young man was on his dying bed. Couldn't say a word. Was in pains. And at that last moment, when he would pass out, the pastor came around. He had sent for his pastor. They came around and all they told him, nothing entered again. And then, in the final moment, he turned to his wife. "Oh, Martha, Martha," he said, "you sent me to hell." And he gave up the ghost. Oh, that was his last words. He saw hell. His condemnation was sure. And he turned to his wife and left those last words to that woman. "Oh, Martha, you sent me to hell." Please, friends, even though you are condemned now, for the whole world is condemned, please don't stay condemned. Yes, the whole world is guilty, but don't stay guilty. For there is a fountain filled with blood, ready to wash away your guilt. Repent and turn to the Lord now when it's time. For only Him can remove that condemnation. Romans 8:1, you know it. "There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to His Spirit." He gives His Spirit when He saves. What can take you to hell like this young man that called his wife Martha? What? Is it your job? What will you say in your dying bed? Oh, the world. Oh, your wife. Oh, your job. What is it that will take you to hell? For this young man, it was his wife. As I conclude, the other thing that I said would drive home the terror of death is the wrath of God. There are two: the guilt, which is condemnation, and then the wrath of God. The wrath of God is the burning anger of God. It's called indignation. It is not mere anger or displeasure. This is a form of anger that displays the fullness of God's anger. You know, when we have children that have offended us, we punish them. Sometimes we are even angry and we punish them. But that punishment is a corrective one. So there is an anger, there is a punishment that is corrective. But the wrath of God I'm describing now, which is the indignation that the death brings us to face when we are going to the other side of eternity, is a punishment that displays anger of God. It is not corrective. It is the one that exhibits the anger of God. So God wants to display His anger. And He says, "Who will I display this on?" In Romans 9, it's called the vessel of wrath. That's the wrath that awaits everyone. But then that's what death brings, to terrorize your soul. You might not know it, but then that's what you are afraid of. See how the Bible puts it in Revelation 14, as a roundup. Revelation 14, 9 to 11. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they shall have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." The statement full strength here actually means undiluted. This is because right now the wrath of God is always diluted. So there are different wrath in the Bible. There is this one that is diluted, and this one that is not. There is this one that is not diluted. Right now, all the anger that God reveals on man is always diluted with mercy and grace. He reveals wrath on all unrighteousness of men. But he often allows mercy and grace to interrupt. None of us here have fully experienced God's untampered and undiluted anger and fury. But when we are faced with him after death, all the ungodly shall get his undiluted wrath. It's going to come, my friends. It's going to come. It's going to be unleashed on all vessels of wrath. But now it's diluted. Here and there. Some of you are immoral, adulterous. And even when, as you move around, you get a disease, you take a pill and it's cured. Mercy comes. You kill, you abort, you lie, defraud people, and yet life seems to still be good to you. A little consequence here and there, but you are back and off the hook. Our Father in heaven gives rain and sunshine even to the ungodly. Atheists advancing in science and technology. Even now, see the coronavirus slowly going away, mercy and grace prevailing, even though the world still will not recognize God. But don't be fooled, friends. Don't be fooled. There is a time when the wrath and anger of God become undiluted, in full strength, when mercy and grace will cease eternally. This is the wrath that death will point you to. This is what death will torment you with. Death is not called the king of terror for nothing. And no one will escape this except the Antichrist. Oh, hear the dying saying of another man. And this is King Charles. Charles the Ninth, king of France, a wicked king. Died a cunning man, heartless. And he died saying these words. "Oh, my nurse," he said, "my nurse, what blood, what murder, what evil counsel have I followed? Oh, my God, pardon me and have mercy on me if you can." And then he said, "I know not what I am or what I shall do. I'm lost. And I see it well that I'm lost. I'm lost. And I can see it well that I'm lost." And he gave up the ghost. No hope. All he saw was a bleak eternity. All that was before him was this wrath that God, the death, has pointed into. So, what is the fear of death? Why are we fearful of death? What drives this fear? Guilt and the wrath of God. Death uses sin and the law to hammer home our guilt, and the wrath of God that awaits all those who have sinned. And we all are sinners. And this is the only reason why death is fearful, my friends. This is why death has that terror in it. But there's a good news. It's a roundup. There's a good news. There's a good news we all must hear. There's a good news, my friends. And the next speaker will elaborate more on this, talk more on this. There's a news the whole world should hear. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 57. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be, and this is the good news, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sure of victory over all of this I've mentioned. But how? How do we get this victory? What did he do to achieve this victory for us? Like I said, our brother will bring his message to explain this. But I'll just leave you with just one text. 2 Timothy 1, 8 to 10. 2 Timothy 1, 8 to 10. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Our Lord has abolished death, meaning he has disarmed death. That word abolish means he has disarmed death. He has made death idle. He took the sting or the weapon of death away by paying for our sins on the cross. Remember? He quenched all the assault of the law by obeying it and fulfilling the law and all its demands. And he presented himself as our guilt offering. Took away our guilt and our condemnation and bore on himself the wrath of God undiluted. He drank the wine of his indignation to the last dreg. He drank it till he cried on the cross, "It is finished." Oh, it is finished, my friends, as he hung on that cross. It's all finished. The wrath of God satisfied. It is finished. Our guilt taken away. It is finished. Sin destroyed and the law fulfilled. It is finished. Death is destroyed. Death is rendered idle. And now, for believers, death is just a boat that ferries you to see your Creator. And so the Bible used death, changed the word for believers. For us, it's now called a sleep. Because all his weapon has been taken away. It's now a sleep. It has no more sting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my beloved in Christ. But if you still do not know him, there's time
before death comes.
Oh, you see the fear of death hovering around, even though it has subsided a bit. There's time now. Do not wait till that last hour, for the door might be shut. There's time, and today is the day of salvation. Come to Christ. Come to Him and share with us this victory over death. Come now when there's time, when you can turn to Him and cry out for help. Come. And the Lord will by no means cast anyone who comes to Him. Cast him out. Come and receive the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, on the cross, you make a public show of principalities and power. Oh, like Samson, your bare hands, oh Lord, you took apart the lion. Ours is death, and you took it apart. You went to the house of our enemy and disarmed him. You came as man, oh Lord, and put to death sin and our condemnation in the flesh. You came and you submitted yourself to quench the wrath of God. You drank that cup to the last dreg. On that cross you cried, "It is finished," that we might have victory in you. Oh, merciful Father, we thank you. Praise your name for the victory you've given to us in Christ. Oh Lord, we cry for our friends and our families and those hearing us even now that have not come to you to partake of this victory. Lord, drive them. May the fear of death drive them to you. May they grope. Oh, that they might happily find you. Help, oh Lord, that our hearts will be stirred now that we have time to turn to you. That things will not take us away from you and to be too late to turn to you. Bless, O merciful Father, the next speaker and those who will come, the one that will come tomorrow. Bless, O Lord, this meeting and those hearing us from home. And may your name be glorified and Christ be praised for that gracious work that he has come to do for us. Blessed be your holy name, my heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.